Welcome to Federal Insights, sponsored by Thundercat Technology.
Greetings, and welcome to this week's episode of Federal Insights. I'm Eric White. Connected devices are making their steadily increasing presence within the federal government, helping with both mission delivery and citizen interaction. However, these smart cars, smart medical devices, even smart cities represent brand new targets for hackers, requiring agencies to secure the many components in the IoT ecosystem, from sensors, industrial IoT devices and their interfaces, networks and clouds, to sophisticated software applications. At a recent ATARC panel, hosted by Federal News Network's own Jory Heckman, he had the chance to discuss the art of the possible in IoT use cases within the federal space with some folks who are on the front lines of this new technology. James Rodd is Cloud Portfolio Manager for the Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA, and Tim Mierzawa is Enterprise Strategy Lead for the Information Technology Resources Branch at the National Center for Advancing Translational Sciences, or NCATS.
I'm just going to tee up a pretty basic question here, but a pretty exciting one in terms of the current state of IoT, Internet of Things devices. What are the current use cases that you're most excited about? Tim, I'll toss it over to you first.
Sure. Thanks, Rory. So, at NCATS, which is the Center for Advancing Translational Sciences, we focus on drug discovery, development, and dissemination. And so what we're really using IoT for is to create ecosystems of automated instruments where we can generate massive amounts of data with regards to biological profiles, chemical properties, and data analysis surrounding those sort of assays, so that we can help discover drugs and get treatments to patients more quickly.
Okay, great. And James, over to you. Over at FEMA, what are the IoT use cases that are the ones that you are most excited about?
Well, obviously, by our mission, we are required to respond to disasters. So anything that can help us do that faster and with less of a logistical impact is always preferential to us. So as devices get smaller, yet have more capability and more data, we are very happy about that. So I would say that our greatest asset, as far as our intent to fully utilize IoT, would be for the dissemination of data in response to disasters.
Okay, great. Well, thanks for everyone for kind of teeing up the rest of the conversation here. I think a very logical place to kind of get started here is just recognizing the infrastructure needed to enable and empower IoT, whether that's a cloud infrastructure or whether you're looking over the horizon, 5G seems to be a real enabler of IoT. Just I'll throw it to whoever wants to pick this up here, but What do you see as the infrastructure that's necessary to enable IoT and really kick it into the next gear?
So I can go and take this. At NCATS, we have, not only the cloud infrastructure to, handle all of the data ingestion and analysis, but we actually have a pretty neat ecosystem of actual instruments and devices to actually conduct the experiments that end up producing the data. So at NCATS, we have sort of a combination of, not only the smart devices and instruments, but also the cloud infrastructure to handle that, big data analysis that comes off of those instruments and devices.
Okay, anyone else wanna take a crack at that? James?
Yeah, we utilize it pretty much the same way as well. We have something that we call FirstNet. I'm not sure how familiar everybody is with that, but it is a communication network provided through the infrastructure of AT&T, and it's targeted specifically towards first responders and the like. And it's supposed to be it is more reliable, secure. I get signal on FirstNet in garages where my T-Mobile personal phone has no hope of working. So, you know, the utilization of being able to have a robust network like that, that can handle communications for all of these devices is critical to what we do as well.
Yeah, and actually, I think that's a great point to kind of foot stomp is just the, you know, the rugged terrain in which some of these IoT devices are deployed, you know, out on the edge, having the connectivity so that they are able to, you know, beam that data, you know, elsewhere where it's that data is being parsed and being put to good use. James, Tim, any thoughts on the, you know, the security implications of IoT and just making sure that it's, you know, protected from malicious actors, really?
Yeah. So, you know, our institute was actually recently formed in 2012. So it's actually relatively new. And we actually did not even get large enough to where, you know, we had a need to stand up a cybersecurity division until about 2019, just right before the pandemic. So they've been very busy developing a framework for, you know, actually, you know, IoT and cybersecurity in general. And so we've been working with them to sort of come up with, you know, governance plan with regards to sort of balancing, you know, because, you know, we're, you know, at NCATS, we're sort of on the innovative side and, you know, we're sort of driving constantly driving for new developments and drug discovery. So it's definitely a balancing act between, you know, using the latest technologies, but also making sure they're secure at the same time.
Okay, great. And we were talking about CISA a moment ago, James, you know, another very valuable component of the DHS family. You know, are there conversations or notes being shared between FEMA and CISA on the Always. Security of IoT?
Yeah, security is a massive concern for us. Obviously, responding to emergencies, the last thing we want to happen is some kind of a security attack that would prevent us from doing that. So that is always upfront in our mind. We meet with CISA regularly, or I would say our OCISO does, our chief of security. You know, obviously, you know, we have all of the active scanning tools and everything like that that anybody needs. But in my opinion, one of the most critical things that we tend to not pay enough attention to is your baseline updates and stuff like that. Like just making sure that your mobile devices are updated to the latest firmware, that you're aware of any security weaknesses that were discovered either by, you know, white hat hackers or the individual companies, or even, you know, black hat, and they've now done something to address the issue. You know, basic systemic and network maintenance is a critical tool beyond the fancy software and firewalls and VPNs and all the other kind of stuff we utilize as well. So that's something we try to stress here at FEMA. We have very severe requirements for keeping everything updated.
Excellent. Thank you for that, James. Tim, you know, you were describing IoT use cases, I would say almost in like a clinical situation, or that use case being more kind of, based on the mission here. Just tell me where automation fits into those use cases of IoT.
Yeah, so I mean, from a clinical perspective, you know, we actually do both preclinical and clinical at NCATS, but from a clinical perspective, you know, you can gather all sorts of, you know, health metrics from, you know, heart rates or, you know, insulin levels, you know, things like that. And, you know, you do need to sort of anonymize that data as well, because, you know, that data in the wrong hands can definitely be very dangerous. So, you know, that's something, you know, we're constantly striving for. And, you know, not only that, but also standardizing the data that's collected as well, so that you can actually gain insights from it and, you know, make suggestions with regards to patient care and patient treatments.
Okay. And James, as far as the automation side of things, what's FEMA thinking of there in terms of that and the intersection of IoT?
First off, our cloud is relatively new. It's only been up for about a year, AWS first, and then we brought Azure up with a full ATO in October. So we're still relatively immature, and we're always updating our architecture. I like to say that the cloud's not static. Nothing is ever done. We're always looking to update it and improve it. Even though we do have 24/7 monitoring in place of like a SOC and a NOC, we still do depend on RPA, robotic process automation, and we utilize a UI path for that. And what it does is it helps us to get eyes on the most important data first. And then we're hoping in the future to move towards a machine learning aspect where if RPA picks up certain important things, there's an automatic response to that threat, shutting ports, whatever it might need to be. And then, an actual capacity to learn from those threats as well. We're heading in that direction. We're just starting to utilize RPA. We're not really using it in security right now. We're using it more in finance, believe it or not. But, budgeting on the side of disasters is a huge issue as well. But that's our plan. Our plan is to start using RPA for most of our automation and then to increase that and incorporate machine learning in time.
You're listening to a recent ATARC panel hosted by Federal News Network's Jory Heckman, speaking with James Rodd, Cloud Portfolio Manager at FEMA, and Tim Mierzawa, Enterprise Strategy Lead for the Information Technology Resources Branch at NCATS. We'll have more from this panel after a quick break. I'm Eric White.
IoT solutions are reshaping government entities to provide better services, greater safety, efficient transit, and smarter public infrastructures. Thundercat Technology, in partnership with Dell and Ruckus, provide unified networks to streamline all access points and are bringing Internet of Things into one singular network. Thundercat, Dell, and Ruckus can offer this unified solution to government agencies at an enterprise scale. Learn about our IoT experience and capabilities at thundercattech.com/delltech. Innovate, grow, know. Thundercat. Dell and Ruckus.
Welcome back to Federal Insights. We continue the airing of a recent ATARC panel on IoT use cases within the federal space. Federal News Network's Jory Heckman got to speak with James Rodd, Cloud Portfolio Manager at FEMA, and Tim Mierzawa, Enterprise Strategy Lead for the IT Resources Branch at the National Center for Advancing Translation Sciences at the National Institutes of Health.
Yeah, I think to pivot the conversation here a little bit, because I think what you were all saying in various ways were just kind of some of the guidelines or the guardrails that need to be in place around IoT, just recognizing, this is a lot of information being beamed up here and that there's, obviously some protections that need to be put on that data, and I obviously there are some real leaders in terms of, securing the data here. We were talking about CISA a moment ago. I'm curious, I imagine NIST, the National Institutes for Standards and Technology, have been contributing a lot of thoughts on this as well. Just tell me, how NIST has been a player in setting some of the guardrails around IoT and data.
They've, for us at least, they've definitely provided guidelines and a comprehensive sort of approach for us to factor in, with our strategy. Like I said, we're constantly balancing innovation with security. We pride ourselves on, being on the forefront of introducing these innovative technologies in order to, treat more patients. So they've done been very helpful to sort of set those guidelines so that, we can help implement those while, not losing focus on the end goal, which is, to create those innovative treatments and get them to patients faster.
Okay, great. Happy to move on unless anyone else has any thoughts there on the NIST aspects of things.
Yeah, I just have one comment. NIST actually has an 800-213, which specifically does tell us what the current requirement is for the federal government as far as the protection of IoT. It's relatively new, but it is quite a hefty baseline. So it's all out there. Anything that that we need to secure our networks, you know, the information is out there. You just got to get your hands on it.
Okay. And I'm kind of curious here. We've been talking about, you know, the use cases of IoT at your respective agencies, but I'm kind of curious in terms of, you know, the accelerating and expanding of IoT across government, you know, what do you see as some of the barriers that need to be reconciled here? We were talking, of course, a moment ago about the data security element of things, the civil liberties side of things, but what else pops up to you as things that agencies across the board really need to get right before this becomes more of a thing we see across the board here?
I think one of the major things is policy and governance that needs to be addressed first. You need to look at, you know, once architecture is done, policy and governance should be second. We don't always eat our own dog food on that one because sometimes we need to get the solution out as fast as possible because it's filling, you know, a dire need. But I cannot stress how important policy and governance is when you're introducing something like IoT and the utilization of hardware and software over IoT.
Yeah, and we kind of, are thinking the same thing as well, because especially within the past 2 years in COVID-19, it was sort of, full steam ahead on trying to find a cure, trying to find possible treatments. And so, you know, that part of it, you know, was neglected a little bit. Now we're taking the steps to, you know, set up that governance and, you know, so that we do have a path forward.
Excellent. All right. And just kind of a follow on to that, recognizing that you all three have some really exciting use cases, it seems, in terms of, you know, IoT. What do you see as some lessons learned that other agencies could maybe, build on top of when it comes to, you know, fielding IoT? What should they keep in mind here as far as a playbook,
I
guess?
I have a good one for that one. Regulations do exist. And even if you're not aware of them, they're still out there. I would make friends with NIST and CISA and places like that and realize that rarely are we reinventing the wheel. More than likely, somebody's been there, done it, and we have, at a federal level, started drafting some kind of policy and governance about it. Unfortunately, in FEMA, sometimes we kind of silo ourselves because we're responding to an incident. We put procedure and policy in effect and then find out that it doesn't meet the requirement of NIST or CISA or executive order or whatever, zero tolerance. And then we have to go and kind of backwards engineer our solution, which we've already been utilizing. I hate to say it, but when do we find out that it's not good? Usually during an audit, you know, and that's not the good time to be finding out. So I would definitely say networking is a huge factor and making sure you go to the sources.
Awesome. Tim, anything else?
I was going to say what we've had success doing is, you know, following a zero trust based approach, when it comes to IoT and, you know, specifically segmenting, the IoT ecosystems, you know, within our network. So that they, you know, so none of those devices do have access to data that they shouldn't have. And then also, you know, just endpoint initiated security as well, so that, you know, certain instruments or, you know, certain automations can trigger, other devices as well, so that you really follow that least privileged access, as much as possible.
All right. All good points there. Well, hard to believe, but we are running out of time here, where the half hour is just about over here. So I'll give everyone just a quick 1 minute lightning round here to give us some closing sentiments, or, you know, if you'd rather just give me a better sense of where you see the future of IoT going. James, over to you. What's your closing sentiment you'd like to leave with everyone?
Something that, it's probably a known fact in all reality, but I just like to reiterate it. I don't know about people in the physical environment, but I find it's a whole lot easier to apply zero trust and all of the standards that we need in a cloud environment. It's faster, and we tend to be able to respond to things faster in the cloud. On top of that, the thing I like the most about IoT is actually a direct impact to logistics. 3 to 4 years ago, we would, whenever there's a disaster that we're expecting, we field equipment close to that area so that we can very quickly move it in to support whatever ends up happening. You know, that could be, you know, 20 giant trucks full of equipment because it's servers, it's machine, you know, computers, all kinds of stuff. Our footprint with that is dramatically reduced because of the use of mobile devices in an IoT environment. And that's great because that means we can get where we need to go faster and lighter.
All right. And Tim, I think you'll get the final word here. Tell us what the audience should take away from this conversation.
No, we're looking to leverage IoT, just to, automate, reactions, possible assays and screens, just to derive potential, cures faster as well. And, to talk a little bit about what James said, there's a, using and leveraging the cloud within our IoT ecosystem, really allows us to analyze tons and tons of data that we already had that we, really didn't have any way to analyze before. So, possibly point out potential, correlations or relationships between different compounds, different synergy or synergistic effects they might have on different, cell lines and biological profiles. And, we really, look forward to it really accelerating drug discovery development.
You've been listening to an ATARC panel hosted by Federal News Network's own Jory Heckman. In it, he spoke with James Rodd, Cloud Portfolio Manager at the Federal Emergency Management Agency, and Tim Mierzawa, Enterprise Strategy Lead for the Information Technology Resources Branch at the National Center for Advancing Translational Sciences at the National Institutes of Health. If you missed any of this episode, you can find it online. Go to federalnewsnetwork.com and search Federal Insights. I'm Eric White.
Thank you for listening to Federal Insights, sponsored by Thundercat Technology on Federal News Network.